All right, take your seat. This is definitely 1 Kings chapter 1, where David needed some life. Yeah. If you want some seriousness, you call honey. Ministry. Walk by faith and all. Songs for the shepherd. Master C. If you want excitement, you want the young people to be, you call Mika. Yeah. And Showboy will give you the show. You read your Bible when he sings. Chroma will kill you when he comes. Hallelujah. All right, so let me finish with this part here. Then we do a shorter session, and then we'll make way for the Honorable Minister. Amen. So call a friend, tell them that, Charlie, it's getting hotter and hotter here. You must make your way to Canal number 2, Polder. It's getting better. How you can enlarge your ministry? How you can enlarge your ministry? Like Apostle Juno was preaching yesterday, even the theme alone is prophetic. Yeah, that God wants you to preach to a larger group of people. I believe God wants me to preach to a larger group of people. I was told earlier that one of the pastors who came said they had a dream that God spoke to them about. The fact that he will have 1,000 people in his church. Yeah. And so when he came here and I was talking about the fact that this church cathedral can seat 1,000 people, he said, that's a confirmation to my word. I'm also believing God for 1,000 people, I tell you. Hallelujah. And so with all the things that we believe in, that we're expecting, God can do it. But we want to look at how enlargement can come. 7 steps to enlarging your ministry. Number 1, enlarge your heart. Remember, it's just like your fist. Come on. Yeah. You can do as much, as big as your heart is, or as small as your heart is. The first step to enlarging your ministry is to enlarge your heart. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 5. All these topics that I'm looking at, they are very, very specific. I felt led to talk about every single thing I'm talking about. Yeah. It's not guessing at all. There are so many books that you can easily be confused what to talk about. But the Lord guided me, and I'm grateful for that. So take it very serious. How you can enlarge your ministry. Enlarge your heart. That's number one. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 5. The Bible says that, then thou shalt see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Can you see it? Enlargement first begins from the heart. He says, then thou shalt see and flow together, and your heart shall fear, and your heart shall be enlarged. Once your heart is enlarged,
the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Until your heart is enlarged, the abundance of the sea will not be converted unto thee. Are you with me? And he says, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. But that only happens when your heart is enlarged. Open your heart to new people. Open your heart to some people. I tell you, I have a church member, and I'm still waiting for him to visit after so many years. He's called Angel. I'm sure many of you know him. Not her, you know him. It's a he. Yeah. Many years ago in East La Penitence, he used to come to our church. And then he disappeared. Then one day after a few years, he came back one of the evenings. I think he liked the evening service. Because he didn't want people to look at him funny when he comes during the day. Because, you know, he's not an angel, but he called himself Angel. He didn't like the daytime service. Because people will see him. He liked the night service. I like him. Because he is just unfortunate what he's going through. Because he told me his story. He said that like joke, what happened was when he was little, his aunt used to put brassiere and panties on him and let him model in the house. And they'll be laughing. Like that. I believe some demons were imparted into the boy's life. Yes, that's why now he's like that. He's working like that. He's operating like that. Yeah. So when Jesus saw the multitudes, there was one thing he had. He had compassion because there were problems. Never criticize people for the bad things they are doing. They are thirsty. We have the tendency to be self-righteous when it comes to people's errors and mistakes and sins. But people are into what they are into because of the lack of a shepherd, the lack of somebody who loves them and gather them and bring them close to the Lord. And we should rather blame ourselves for how people are going off than blaming the people themselves. I don't know if I'm talking to the right. When Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4, Jesus knew who he was dealing with. So he told her, after the water encounter, he said, go and bring your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, I know. In fact, you've had enough men. And even the one that you are currently with is not your husband. Yeah, it's not your husband. Woman was blown away. She was blown away that Jesus would know her like that. In fact, when the disciples came, they were very offended. They didn't know what to believe because it's like, why is he talking to such a woman? And much less, the woman is also from Samaria. And the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have a lot of things in common in those days. Are you following? Jesus hardly condemned people in the midst of their sins. I'm talking about enlarging your heart. The crowds will not gather. People, I've heard people over the years say, we want quality and not quantity. You see, we are not talking about rice. We are not talking about a commodity that you consume, that you look for quality. If you are going to, any time you see a forest, never think that there's no animal there.
Every thick forest has all types of animals. No, you go to a forest and see. You will not only see snakes. You see all kinds. You see insects. You see reptiles. You see all kinds of creatures that God has made. In the forest that you think you see one type of people. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that in a church, in a large church, in fact, the Bible says in a large house, there are many vessels. What told Timothy? I'm sure Timothy was also thinking about, you know, these type of vessels. And he was trying to explain to him that, my brother, if you are going to have a large church, you will have to accept the fact that you will not know everybody. You don't have to know everybody. What people do is not your business. Just keep on preaching the word of God. Sometimes when we get to know people's business and people's stuff, we tend to, you know, withdraw from them. It's true. That's what I'm talking about. My angel church member, he's called Akim. That's all I know him as. And if you look at what, it is an unfortunate incident. I'm telling you. It's an unfortunate incident that as a little boy, an auntie who is demon-possessed will put brazier on him and put panties on him, a boy. Innocent little boy growing up. Now, if we see him at St. George's Cathedral, you can't point fingers and say, all the things that he does, it's a show. Deep down inside of him, he needs Jesus Christ. And you shouldn't call people names. Auntie Ma, it's a girl. Left hand, what, right, that, all kind of fancy things. Charlie, people are in situations sometimes not because of their choice. The crowds, the multitudes will not come to us if our hearts are not enlarged. And if your heart is enlarged, you will have all sorts of people. If you can't handle differences in people, God will never give you a lot of people. Some people are disgusting, I can tell you. I mean. Some people don't respond. You have some church members who disappeared and now they've reappeared. When they enter the church, every church member submits to ushers. So the usher will usher them to a spot. These church members, you can't tell them where to sit. They enter the church and they sit at the last row. They don't care. And I've told my ushers, no, you should make sure people sit properly. People sit well. People sit properly. Don't let people sit at the back. Why do you want to come to church and sit at the back? It's bad boys who go to school and sit at the back. It's bad girls who go to school and sit at the back. Why do you come to church and want to sit at the back? How come there are seats in front that are available and you are sitting at the back? Oh, I'll preach, I'll talk about it. They will never listen to me. At a point, I said, why do these people come to this church? They should stay home. But if we were to be a little patient with them, they might change. I remember one of them said, every Sunday morning, they are very excited to come to church. And they said, whenever they enter the gate of the church in Georgetown, then the heaviness starts. Then she says that when she enters the church, she can't move her legs any longer. So the nearest chair to sit on is the one at the back. So when some people don't conform to our straight line, do you have some straight lines? As the pastor next to you, do you have some straight lines? Where's Talman? me and Talman were doing some straight lines in the other day. Talman said, straight. I said, nah, Talman, look. look, it's not straight. They say, yeah, Bishop, now I can see that it's not straight. Like, yeah. People have straight lines. I like straight lines. Straight lines are good. When I stand on my stairs and I look so, I see them boys who did the stairs, they're bad boys. Bah. The line is not straight. As when it comes to the tiling, oh Lord God, I don't know what's going to happen here. You see the things. It looks okay from, but when you stand, you see that it's not straight. And I don't like the part that is not straight. The guy who did the doors for us, I gave him a plan with measurements. The guy did his own thing. But you see, when you look at it, it looks okay. When the folks started putting the fiberglass in the holes, then they realized every space has a different measurement. Every space. And we have problems with things like that. Yeah. If you are into construction, if you've done construction or you're doing a building project before, you encounter contractors and masons who make a mistake at one point and tell you that at the next stage they'll correct it. Yeah. You lay the blocks, it will look so. And you tell, oh no, Bishop, don't worry, I'll bring it back when I'm plastering. And then when they are, wait, but you know what I'm talking about. And then when they plaster, they put stuff, and then when you come and see, it is still not straight. And say, no, man, Bishop, too much stuff we put on. It's a lot of stuff. But you told me that you're going to correct this when you're doing the plastering. That's what you say. Sometimes when I stand in my house and I look at the wall, I see that it's not straight. You look at the column, it's going straight up. And when it's about to get to there, then it turns like that. Oh, Lord. It's annoying. It's irritating. It makes you angry. And that is how we live our lives. But if you are going to do ministry and you are going to get a large church, you have to get rid of those headmistress, headteacher, headmaster kind of strictness. You have to allow worms, snakes, caterpillars, butterflies, orangutans, baboons, chimpanzees. They have, all of them have different characters and different traits. You have to allow them in the church. Oh, yes. I saw on the Ashes platform that TikTok was saying what? He's blessed. Thank you for adding me back to the Ashes. TikTok is problems, man. We have a guy we call TikTok. He's one of the Ashes. Nice guy. Very helpful, move, you know. He came nice. He came from Antigua. He used to live in Antigua and then he came back. So, you know, he joined the church. Is it cold? It's hot. Very, very hot. You should turn on the air condition. It's hot. You should turn it on, right? Okay. So he came back, very nice guy, he's ushering and all of that. Then he went to do security work. There are some jobs you shouldn't do. It's true. When you tell people, they don't believe you when you say something. There are some jobs, no matter how much money they give you, don't do it. So he was doing security work, and he was working on the Avenue of the Republic. When you get a job on the Avenue, please don't take it. No, you see, any job around the center of Georgetown, around there, is not good because you encounter demons, zombies, all the beasts. Because it is a central point of exchange, so a lot of things pass through. So this guy went to work at he was a security guard on the Avenue. One day I was driving. You know, sometimes when I'm driving, people don't see me, but I see them. He was standing, you know, at the entrance to a property. And a girl was passing. I saw him watch the girl. And I said, watch the girl. I said, I almost rolled down my window and said, hey, what are you looking at? It was when he was working there that he got the name TikTok. Because for the church members who are on TikTok, they saw a video of him and a girl. The girl was whining on him. Was he kissing the girl or something? The girl was whining. He was behind the girl. The girl was whining on TikTok. And then getting to the end of the video, she turned and kissed him like that. Yeah. And he get basidi. He stands straight like that. He enjoying the thing like that. So the next Sunday when he came to church, we started calling him TikTok. That's how he got the name. It's like working out there, nice guy, opened himself up, was affected. And it affected him for a while. He's been in and out. We've missed him. He's been out for months, weeks. You don't see him. Now he has come back by the grace of God. And I think Pastor Gavin has added him to the ushers now to usher again. So he's grateful. Charlie, if you're going to have a large congregation, you will have TikToks in your church. Male and female. Yeah. Where's Natisha? She ain't come? Lord Jesus. You saw her? Hey! One of the girls who dance in the, you know, the interpretive dance. She also has a video on TikTok. No, she's very talented. So the camera, the phone or whatever is there like that. You know, and you know when people do and they dance. No, she is not doing that. She turns she back like that. Hey! If you know Natisha, you know what I'm talking about. Her back is against the camera. And she comes to church every Sunday. There was a time that I would call her out and abuse she. But I've changed. Because if you want a large church, you have to open up. I saw Kishana too. She was doing so. Yeah. Now, from my background, you know, I when I got saved, the church that I used to be part of, I got saved for 1 year and I migrated. Those days, 1989, you can't come to our church with lipstick. The pastor didn't believe in lipstick. Makeup? The pastor didn't believe in makeup. Pants? He didn't believe in pants. So if you're a woman and you dare bring pants to church, you'll be the subject of the message that Sunday. Oh, he used to abuse enough of the girls. You have the Jezebel spirit. Because Jezebel is one of the first people in the Bible who was known for painting nails, makeup and all of that. So he used to call them, we have Jezebel spirits. I tell you. So to have people come to church and you see them do something else that you know the Bible does not, is you who knows it. They don't know it. They don't have the kind of, if you want to call it, the maturity. They are growing up. You have to give them time. You have to give them space. You can't say that all of you. I remember somebody told me there's a pastor in town who they went to his church and he was the one doing the praise and worship. And so they asked him, oh, you have people and all of that. Why are you doing the praise and worship yourself? He says he doesn't believe in anybody. They are all fornicators. So So he preferred he and his wife, Alice, he preferred that they did, because that is an altar. You can't have fornicators sing song in a church. So he was doing the praise and worship himself. He doesn't want any fornicator to hold the microphone. I'm not sure whether he has a detector at the entrance to his church. That when you walk in, it, beep, fornicator. You know those security scanners? Maybe he has one. So he knows spiritually, he scans the people and he doesn't believe in anybody to do them a praise or to do any worship. No, he will do it himself. No. Fornicators are not welcome to the altar. Now, if you do that, you do the prayer, you do the singing, you do the preaching, you do everything. You have to have a heart that is enlarged if you are going to have a large ministry. I remember in my early days in Holland, when we started the church, Lighthouse Chapel International, 1985, I had a very faithful young lady. I mean, when we started the church, we started with about 9 or 10 people, including Prophet and Bishop Saki, and a few sympathizers. You know, there's always sympathizers who come when the church starts. So Prophet left me. Then the second Sunday, I was alone with, I think, 2 people. And then the one person stopped coming at the point. So I was left with this lady, faithfully coming every Sunday. One or two Sundays that I went, she didn't come, so I was alone. I was at the Marionette Theater in Amsterdam Central. Cold winter morning. Put on my suit, I put on my tie, I put on my shirt. I've prayed in the morning. Lord, bring the increase. I went to church that Sunday morning. I was alone. I've been there before. Nobody came. Nobody came. I did my prayer all right, because you have to pray to encourage yourself. You know, you pray, even those times you pray like you have 100 people. You pray, I am alone. Did a little bit of singing and here and there, encourage myself, and then I gave an offering and I recorded offering form A and I left. Oh yes. One cold winter morning. I went to him, I went to sleep. I covered my head like that and I slept. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't know that you can have a church and nobody comes. I was so angry and annoyed. When you go through that, the next Sunday, when the people come, you can abuse them. Where y'all went? You have to be serious with God. Why are you rowing? No. What's your problem? Why are you rowing? It is that Sunday that you have to hug them up and say, you know what, let's eat some chicken. Because you know how it is to not have anybody. So as they've come, you should buy chicken. Yeah. And thank God for the people. So this lady, about 2 Sundays or so, I was alone. This lady kept coming. So sometimes it's just me and her. I'll do everything. Me and her. Then you see one person will join. Like that. Until when I left, we had branches. My church was over 100 people. I had pastors and all of that. I started from nowhere. This lady, one day, when the church had grown a little bit, she was a treasurer. So I said, no, let's go to town and look for communion glasses. So we went together, we're in a bus, shop to shop looking for communion glasses. It wasn't easy those days to find communion glasses. So as we were going, and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I mean, we're in the middle of town, people jumping off a bus and all that. You want to tell me something? What's that? Then she said it again. I said, you know what? Okay, when we get on this bus, you can tell me. So when we got on the bus, she sat next to me and she said, Pastor, I'm pregnant. I said,
I don't. My scanner didn't detect you last Sunday. You are pregnant? I've never seen any man around you before. I visited her a couple of times. I didn't see any boy in her house. She never told me she had any boyfriend. My church member that all my hopes were in, if nobody will come, she will come. Now she tell me she has gone to fornicate. Lord Jesus, I've lost her. From my background, I knew I had to drive her out of the church. Because she's a fornicator. So I said, I remember my days when nobody used to come to church. So let me call Prophet, my father, and ask for advice. So I took the phone and I called him. Those days when you call, you answer the phone, talk to you. These days, you don't want to call. It's a message you send. I called him. And I said, Bishop. So Collins, how are you? I said, Bishop, I'm fine. I have a problem. He said, okay, what's the problem? I said, Bishop, I have one nice church member. She just told me that she's pregnant. No husband, nothing. Oh, I have had straight lines before. So I said, I don't know what to do with her. Can you please advise me? He laughed. And I said to myself, what is so funny that, you know, this man of God is laughing? I have a serious case. The girl is a fornicator. She was the one who used to count the offering with me. I had nobody to count the money with. She was the one who kept the money and bank it. So she was my one and all. So after, you know, my father finished laughing and all of that, and he said, Collins, you are very funny. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, you're very funny. He said that if you are so powerful, why didn't you see in a vision when the man was having sex with her? If you are so powerful that now you want to drive somebody out of the church because you found them as a sinner, why didn't you see a vision when a man was taking off her clothes? Why didn't you see it? You only know because she told you. If she has not told you, you would have been going around with her. She's your favorite and best church member. So who are you trying to play with? You have no power to drive anybody out of the church. Leave her alone. I said, what? Fornicator? Because it was my father, I had no choice. I had to listen to him. But I struggled with it. I can tell you, 1995, that lady is still in our church up to today. I'm telling you. Yeah. Good years. Because I received wisdom from my father and I allowed my straight line to have some little belly. Otherwise, I would have lost her. I would have had Sunday mornings alone. So, your heart must enlarge. Because even if you look at God, when God looks down on us, he sees all kinds of children, you know. Even our biological children, they are all different. Prophet, you have a good number. They are all different. You can't say this one is not good, so tomorrow get out of this house. You can't say that. Sometimes you try. You talk. Sometimes you talk and you get tired, but the child is still your child. She still lives in your house. You can't drive them away. Oh, Adam. What do you think? Yeah. It's the same thing, huh? I'm sure daddy will talk. Mommy will talk. But I've never seen you call me and say, your bags are out of the house and you are homeless now. All our children are like that. Huh? Pastor Calvin told me, he told Jeremiah. You know Jeremiah? He told his son, who is now in what? Form 1 or Form 2? Secondary school Form 1. Jeremiah Kelvin. He asked him to go and dust the mats in his vehicle. So he was you know, dragging his feet and all of that. So Calvin said, hey, bye. Come on, hurry up. He turned his face. So he said, Calvin said, he asked him, what happened to you? Then Jeremiah tells his father, he's trying to embarrass him in public. Yeah. Because the car is in the yard, and of course, you know, neighbors and things like that. So as he's trying to shout at him to hurry up, the bye vex. He said his father is trying to embarrass him in public. Yeah. No, if you don't put aside your straight line, immediately he ends his statement, then one slap on the face. Embarrass you? Who is you? So it's the same thing in a church. Once the pastor's heart is large, you entertain all kinds of people. It doesn't mean that you are compromising with their lifestyle. Because sometimes that's the difficulty with us. You think like, oh, if you don't say something, if you don't rebuke them, it means that you are a partaker of their things. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Otherwise, all your church members will run away. I tried. I mean, it has reduced or it has disappeared, but whenever I see my church, a lady or a girl in my church pregnant, after I've been preaching all the time and they come to the church, they have a big belly. Hey, I'll preach about them. Oh, I'll preach about them. Every sermon, their name is inside. After all my preaching, you don't hear. You come and sit at the back with your big belly and you got no man. You married yet. Then you see, they'll tell you, I want to offer up my child. Fornicated child. Hey. Oh, I used to release bombs and I used to fire. And the people, they don't listen to me. One time, you see, one at the back, stomach big. Yeah, no, they and now it's a little, you know, you hardly see, them traits. But we are fought it. I tell you, if your heart is big, then the sea shall be converted unto thee, the abundance of the sea, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. How you can enlarge your ministry? Number 2. Enlarge your steps. Enlarge your steps. You see, and these things are practical. You have to practically do them. Enlarge your steps. I'm not sure if you understand, but it is very different having a church in Guyana than in Ghana. Very different. Ghanaians are very different from Guyanese. Oh, Adam. Yeah. So I had to go through a transformation heart-wise. Yeah. Because there are so many things that a Guyanian Christian will not do. that a Guyanese Christian would do. So I had to. No, last year, even for example, last year, like how Pastor Sam, you know, spoke last night, Apostle June spoke last night, last year, you know, Prophet Elroy spoke and all of that. And as we are going, you know, a lot of people are going to speak. It just takes 365 days, unfortunately. But last year, I invited two pastors to come and preach. They all refused. I don't understand why you're a pastor, you get the opportunity to share a word and you refuse. It's not like they said, oh, I have an engagement and I can't come or anything. Yes, I'll get back to you. Oh, man, because of one or two reasons. Somebody said they are working on their house, so they can't come. Yes. It's not like, oh, he has a preaching appointment plan on the day. And I'm talking to you about give thyself holy members. Two. They refuse to come and preach. It's going to be very difficult for me to refuse to preach. Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. It's an opportunity to, you know, to witness. It's an opportunity to talk about God. It's an opportunity to, Bible, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. It's important to water plants in other ministries and churches. It's a privilege to be invited. Many people have parties, they don't invite some of us. So to be invited to come and preach, it's a privilege. I see it as a privilege. I don't know about them. But for them to refuse, I was so amazed. And that may be the first and last they get such an invitation. One day will be 1,000 here. And they will like to preach. And I say, you can't preach here. Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. Yeah, by the grace of God. Enlarge your steps. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 37. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Thou hast enlarged my steps. If you are going to enlarge yourself, it means that you want to do more. You want to go deeper and do more. You must pray more. Read your Bible more. Listen to messages more. Soak in messages more until your ministry is enlarged. You will have to do the things you are doing. You have to do them more. If you read one verse a day, you have to start reading five verses. Some pastors, they don't read their Bible at all. The pastors who don't pray at all. If you are going to enlarge your ministry, you have to enlarge your steps. And enlarging your steps means the things you do by reading, praying, listening to messages, you have to enlarge. You have to do more of it. If you are going to be enlarged. Number three. Enlarge your confession. Enlarge your confession. I'm a mega church pastor. Your confession must be enlarged. And Hannah prayed and said, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. This is when she received the miracle. You have to speak big. Speak. Make big confessions. Confess. I'm a pastor of a large church. You have to begin to preach and walk around and believe and confess. You have to enlarge your speaking and your talking if you are going to enlarge your ministry.
You see, because whatever you say, the things you say, they are real. They come to pass. If there's anything that we are in the likeness of God by, it is confession. Because the Bible says that God created us in his image and in his likeness. And one of the things that God is that the Bible says, he said, let there be light. And there was light. So if you say, it happens. Job 28:22, I believe, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that you shall make a decree, and it shall be established. So your confessions must be big. You have to enlarge your vision, enlarge your church by speaking it. Hallelujah. Number four, enlarge the scope of your ministry. Enlarge the scope of your ministry. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. The Bible says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the other regions beyond you. Enlarge your scope of your ministry. You see, sometimes you may have a particular ministry. The Bible says that when Christ ascended, he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And he caused them to be apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and all of that. So sometimes you may operate in one area. So let's say you're a prophet. You try and move further into another, add one ministry to it. Yes. Add an evangelistic to it. Add a teaching to it. Add a pastoral to it. If you're going to have a large ministry, you have to enlarge the scope of your ministry, because there are some people who like the prophetic. There are some people who like the teaching. So if you have the prophetic and the teaching, you have two things on the market. You are likely to get more customers than if you only have one product that you are advertising. So enlarge your ministry by enlarging the scope of it. Teach, learn to teach. What I've been doing for this 2 days is teaching. You can also be teaching. When it comes to prophetic, there's also some prophetism also by the grace of God. When it comes to pastoring, there's also pastoring. When it comes to apostolic, there's also some apostolism. When it comes to we can also do evangelism. We can take some speakers out there. We can do crusade. All of it, we have just not done it effectively, but we can move into it. It's the scope. Otherwise, you cannot enlarge. You see, the Bible says that all things work together for good. All things. So the evangelistic, the prophetic, the teaching, the pastoral, all of that come together to give you a large church and a large ministry. Sometimes you probably need to write books. It brings something to your ministry. Sometimes you need to probably do deliverance, because there are some people who like demons to leave them. That can also enlarge your scope. In Ghana, we like a lot of demon deliverance. One pastor told me that he's an expert in deliverance. Anytime I get deliverance and I can't handle it, I should call him. Yeah. I've not had that yet. By the grace of God. But if I have it and I can't handle it, he's in babies, I'll call him. To come and help me do what? To cast out devils. It's very fantastic how sometimes some people talk. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Cast out devils. Jesus has given everybody the power to cast out devils. Everybody to cast out devils. So somebody can say that I can cast out devils better than you. Jesus didn't give us that. That one will cast better. It's because you don't do. That's why you probably don't understand. But if you do, you will know how it works. But it's not that somebody is an expert in casting out devils. And some of these casting out devils, sometimes it's better to leave the devils in the person. It's true. Yeah. Sometimes you have to leave the five devils in there. I have a young lady who comes to church sometimes. No, the demons are too many. No. I tried. No. The girl likes the demons. I am not going to kill myself on some demons. I'm not here to kill demons. I'm here to gather people. It's when the demons try to scatter the church, that's when I'll deal with them. Oh, I've tried. Too much. Because remember the scripture said that if you cast out a devil, when a devil leaves somebody, he goes out to the wilderness. And he goes and he roams. And after a period of time, he comes back to check whether the house he left is still vacant. And the Bible says when the devil discovers that the place is empty, and he brings seven other devils and says, you know what, me won't get put out anymore, so come, let we go and fortify the place. The place, at least seven of us who can share one bedroom, is okay. We'll share the rent and pay. Jesus said, the state of this person when this demon comes with seven will be worse than before. So I try with this young lady, it doesn't work. You try, it doesn't work. Too much. Every day, something else. So I realized, you know what? Maybe she will die with the demons. It's okay. We have to move on and do other things. Hallelujah. Enlarge the scope of your ministry. Number five. Enlarge your borders. Enlarge your borders. Enlarge your borders. Enlarge your borders. Exodus chapter 34, verse 24. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20 says, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Now, enlarging your borders speaks of enlarging or going beyond your physical location. That if you do ministry in this location, if you do ministry in Haslington, then you have to also try and do ministry in Belfield or in Pleasance. You have to
Don't limit your ministry to one location. Sometimes pastors say, you know what, I've been called to the... Well, one day a pastor told me that he's been called to do ministry in the inner city. And this pastor was doing some ministry in some Alboystown, Charlestown area. Yeah, he said inner city. I said, hey, Charlie, when these Americans talk about inner city, it's a very different story. Where gangs and, you know, these people are Brooklyn and Bronx and these gangs, and that's what inner city ministry. So he's also using the same. Judy, are you here? He's also using the same thing. Judy. Judy, come and sing a song for us. Hallelujah. Start a ministry in another area. Start a ministry in another town. Enlarge your borders. If your ministry is going to enlarge, you have to not, you don't have to limit yourself to a location. Raise some people, start another work somewhere, and position people there and oversee the work. It will enlarge your ministry. By the grace of God, we have things around. We have here, we have there, we have there. I feel, isn't it? We have here, we have there. Why are you cutting your eye for me? We have this. We have that. We have this. We have that. We have this. Yeah. Everything okay? We're good? All right. Huh? You have the lights on? Or we can't have them on? The place is dark. Hallelujah. So pastors. So my three guys in Letem. You have to enlarge. There are places. If it's a school, there are schools 3 hours from Letem. Outside Tabachinga. There are other places. St. Ignatius. The village where Renta comes from. Yeah, we know there. When you go, all her relatives will come to church. You see, my three guys, they want to marry. So two of them, they are marrying from town. It's only Jonas who's a real missionary. Jonas, come with your beloved. Come, Renta, come. Wow. Hey, be nice. Papi, you left your people, you went to marry a black woman. So we have gotten one back since you left us. Yeah. What's the name of your village, Renta?
Riwa.
You know that?
I heard of it.
You've not been there yet?
No, I'm not.
You won't be to come there, you take me there. Will you find a way?
She will.
She will take us. Okay. So end of April, where he's they're getting married in Letem. Yo. Yeah. They are getting married at the end of April. So we are going to Letem. We go to Renter's village, which is a full day. We are there. Okay. Reverend Larry, we are taking the dwellers there. Yeah, man. Go for the engagement on a Saturday and we'll do the wedding on a Sunday. Yeah, man.
that they can have churches. It's only tight because somebody will snatch her in Georgetown. The people, they like making noise, so.
Yeah, man.
We can have more branches, more churches in Region 9, isn't it?
When you finally start peeing, you know, you start peeing,
then you can have revelations and preach in Renters Village. How many people do you have in your village?
About 400 to 500.
About 400? 400 people. It's a whole church.
She has 400 people living in her village. How long does it take to get there?
Mike, you stay right there.
Don't stay right there.
Are you fighting the Meridians?
We got a black woman right there.
How long does it take to travel from Letem to your village?
2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours.
Is it by on the road?
No.
By boat.
There's 2 to 3 hours to a place called Quataman. And then from there, you take another boat about another 3 hours on the water top to go.
Is that where you are taking us? It sounds adventurous. And how often does a boat run?
Every day.
Huh?
Every day.
Every day. You sure every day? Including Saturday?
We have to hire or rent our own boat because I don't know. Oh, Uncle can build one boat for us. I hear Andre can build a boat for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Danny will be the boat captain.
So, do you love her?
Yes, Danny, I do.
You do?
Wow. I can see the tears. It's like, that's all. It's all.
So that's going to be my first pure Amerindian daughter-in-law. It's beautiful.
Them two boys, they want black women. From Sophia.
It's a blessing. We'll come. We'll come.
Aina, are we going? We are going. Yeah. Anna is coming.
Let me tell you, all the black people, you stay in town.
Because I don't want to take you on a boat and then you're going to holla for Jesus and all of that.
Whatever. Put your hands together for Jonas and his beloved. God bless you. Wow, nice. Wow. People are jealous. Yeah. So what happened to the other two? Do they have beloveds? The other two, I see the other two, they don't have beloveds. Okay. They don't have. Okay, we'll find some for them before they go. Yeah. Who's that? Yeah. Where are they? I see one there. Okay. Where's the other one? Oh, that's her. Okay. Ah. Wow. Are they not beautiful? Amerindian girls. Ah. Nice. God bless you. They hold hands. Them black people, they don't hold hands.
So if you want to marry an American woman, please go on missions somewhere. You'll find a nice one like what we have seen. I know Renta's sister, is it Leah? She has long hair like that. Beautiful girl, long hair. Yeah. Does she have a beloved? She does. Oh, I have some black boys here. They're looking for American girls, you know. Yeah. Herman? Looking for American woman? Herman? All right, them girls go frighten you, man. All right, all right. That's right. So strengthen your borders. In Letem, I believe we can go a little further than just the town in Letem. We can go to Bonfim, we can go to St. Ignatius, we can go to Anai, places that we can enlarge our borders. It will help your ministry become bigger. You know, Kendrick got a job as a teacher at a place, 3 hours? 3 hours away from Letem. Yeah. And he used to go. They had a hostel for him to stay. Yeah. So if a job can take you out, can you believe that there are places 3 hours away from Letem into the inside of Region 9? It's fantastic. And there are people there, isn't it? Andre, the fire, what's happening? Light, can we handle it? Yeah, so I don't know. Why are you rushing? Me no going on. Finally, God has blessed us. We have our own transformer, own power line, and then you're not giving me light. Eh? Is it Jonathan or you? It's you. Yeah, man. They shouldn't be. All right. Yeah, something like that. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20. We read it, isn't it? When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy borders, as he has promised thee, then thou shalt say, when your borders enlarge, you eat flesh. Your soul longeth to eat flesh. You eat. Whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, you will get it. You will get plenty and abundance. It's very important to enlarge your borders so you can enlarge your ministry. Number 6, enlarge your territory. Your territory is not necessarily a place you are able to go physically, but beyond. That's how we do social media. I was so surprised when I was in Ghana last year for the conference with Prophet. And then after one session, a lady came to me and told me that she listens to my messages. She's from Australia. I said, what? I made an error. I should have taken a picture with her. And then she showed me my podcast on her phone like that. Oh, yes. It's like, as much as I'm in Guyana, somebody is listening to my messages in Australia. That is enlarge your territory. Your scope is there, your border is there, but your territory also, which is not a place you are physically, but you have people there who listen to you and who follow you, who you pastor, that you may even not know. It is a way to also enlarge your ministry. In this sense, social media is very, very good for those who can handle it. Go on social media, do some preaching. I believe that it will be a blessing. Enlarge your territory. And finally, enlarge your habitation. Enlarge your habitation. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2.
enlarge the place of thy tent. You should do a touch on. Or Adan. You know, sometimes people, Minister of Housing, they say turnkey. People like the turnkey, as much as it is very small. Because some people have the faith and they believe that once I get a turnkey, I can always touch on. I can always extend. I can always break a wall and then extend to the back because there's space at the back. This scripture is talking about that. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. It means expand your building. There are some churches, the building is too small. You have to find a bigger place, or you have to extension. By the grace of God, we have not reached there yet, but I'm sure we'll get there where we have to break a wall. Or have overflow. Have halls where we'll have, digital TVs, monitors, where people can follow the services from. If you go to Korea, Dr. Cho's church, I think the main church, the main sanctuary, seats about 50,000 or something like that, I'm not sure. And then there are other halls with screens that people follow the service from. The 700,000-800,000 members that he has is not in one place. They are in different halls, different rooms. Extend, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Once there's place to extend it. Hallelujah. There are people who, we know it, it's a habit. Sometimes your parents, they have a piece of land and they build in front. And they will encourage you when you marry, you can come and build at the back. There's space at the back. Granny Jackie, isn't it? You can build something at the back. Yeah, Pinky can do a business at the back. Or Shati can build something at the back. Shati say, nah. She moving out. But many people do that. They add some small one bedroom at the back. They add some one bedroom on the side. Isn't it? Karen did that in those days, I remember, in Kitty. She said, you know what? At a point, she said, you know, I want to touch on. I was Samuel Peter who came to do the work for you, isn't it? Yeah, she attached a small part to her mother and her father's house. And she had her own privacy at that time. Some one bedroom, one self-contained something. Simon Peter was a contractor. I remember. He will come and work today and tomorrow he will not come. Carol called me and said, Simon Peter didn't come. I had to call Simon Peter and said, why you stay so? Go and finish the lady's work for her. Extend it. Some churches need extension. You know, if you look at what we have here, it's even encouraging to see empty chairs. It pushes you. You can have a hall or you can have a church where when everybody comes, you are comfortably compact. It feels nice. Anytime you have a church building where all the chairs are occupied, you always feel nice. But sometimes you have to challenge yourself by making sure that you extend yourself, you challenge yourself, have more empty chairs. It provokes you because it tells you there's room. There's room enough. Sunday after Sunday, you have to urge the people. You have to pray. You have to encourage people. You have to work hard. You have to force. You have to speak. You have to talk. You have to teach so that the chairs will be occupied one by one. One by one. One by one. Anytime you feel, if your chair, your church can seat about, let's say, 50 people, you have 45. It always feels nice. Always have some extra empty chairs. It will challenge you. Oh, I said, have some extra empty chairs. It will challenge you. It will help you to press on. It will help you to press forward. Or push yourself and get to a place where you have a large church and a mega church. In Jesus' name, amen.